improvement. How about it? Throw the TV out the window.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I am the message. Save your generation.
You are now listening to Save Your Generation on your Bill Radio Network.
All right, thanks for tuning in as always, everybody. You're listening to Save Your Generation on RevereRadio.net. You can hear this broadcast Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the one and only Revere Radio Network. So tonight, what do we have in store for you? We've got a lot. Well, let me start with last week. If you haven't tuned in before, you're going to have to just start listening every week. But last week, it was Black History Month. February 28th was the last show we did. And in that show, we discussed a lot of things. All month, we were just discussing things of a African or African-American nature. And just how the history, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all the stuff that you thought you learned in high school, but there's a lot more to it that you haven't learned and that I didn't know until doing all this research last month, and probably no one who listened to Revere had known, unless, you know, this is something that you already, you're just a brilliant, all-knowing, all-encompassing genius of rational thought who has looked up all these things and already knew about the Masonic origin of the Nation of Islam, and you already knew that there was government complicity in the Malcolm X murder. So these things to you aren't that shocking and eye-opening, but to me it was, so I felt the need to share it with everyone else. And that's what Save Your Generation is all about, learning new things, new ideas, and hopefully we're gonna lay some on you tonight as well. But last week, a couple of things that I did want to mention that I didn't mention in the show, and it seems, looking back now, like that's such an obvious. When we were discussing the Freemasons and how it relates to the Nation of Islam and how they were founded by them and how just the Masonic origins of almost any religion here in America, whether it be Catholicism, whether it be Mormonism, or whether it be the Jehovah's Witnesses, you look at the founder and how it was started, and it was all started by Freemasons, and the Nation of Islam is no different. But one thing that's just an obvious, just right out in plain sight, right in the open indicator, is something that I didn't mention in any of the shows I did about this, and some of you at home might have been listening and said, hey, how about their logo? Look at that. And it is. It's obviously an occult symbol that also the Freemasons use and other people like Procter and Gamble even use. It's that crescent moon with a star. Now, why would all these people use such a similar iconography or logo or symbol, whatever you want to term it as, but that's what it is. And it's basically an old occult symbol. If you go back to the mystery religions and look up what those mean, but more interestingly, the Procter & Gamble one has 13 stars, and if you look at the old flag, it had 13 stars as well. So what's the significance of this number 13? Well, you'll have to look that up for yourself. That's something else, because tonight, well, actually, there is one more thing that I did want to mention that I think is important, because I did, on that last episode, talk about hip-hop and its importance and how that has affected and changed the entire world, let alone America. So Black history in America, not only did that affect, that affected total history worldwide. And I think the main part of that is that to recognize that hip-hop did have power, and it still today holds that same power, but it's been hijacked now and taken over, so that the only type of hip-hop that is played on the radio is so, I can't even say commercialized, because that commercialized is even too nice to say about it. It's, well, just turn it on and you'll hear it. Mood and butt cheeks, probably is just about every single song over and over. It's so Words can't even describe. You might like that kind of hip-hop. You might think that's the bomb diggy mambo. I mean, you might think that's the hot. You know what I'm saying? But it's not. It's saying nothing. It's absolutely void of anything intelligent or void of anything real. And that's what you should be looking for when you listen into music. I mean, those people do not really have such money and 80 million records sold. You know what that means? That means you made someone else a lot of money, because every single person here knows on this earth that you do not make anything off of record sales. Your money comes in through touring, through your merchandise sales on tour, but not through what you buy in the stores, because that's going to someone else. You might make, 3 points off that? It's no money. Anybody who knows anything about the music business knows that, but they hype it up and talk about it and make it seem like they're so great because they do have these record sales, because there's a whole bunch of people, as Immortal Technique said, he's got nothing to do with luck. It just means a million people are stupid as... But it's true. These people are just stupid and they'll buy anything, but that's not... Well, it is basically what we are going to talk about tonight when we reach our guests who we have... I have a huge story to tell. I'm going to have to go to a break first because I like to play music, but I had a very interesting weekend. I met someone named Jello Biafra. You might have heard of him. He's a very interesting man. We talked a lot, not on air. I thought I was going to be able to get an interview with him, but he did a spoken word show for about 4 hours, so he wasn't really up to doing any more in 1 a.m, but we did get a little chat with him that I did get on air, so we'll play that for you after the break. But I also was with NJ Weedman. He's a past guest, so we got both of them. We had a little roundtable discussion, so you'll hear that after the break. But let me think. What else did I want to talk about? Something else in Black History Month that I did want to bring up. There were three. Oh, the third thing was, number one, most importantly, what needs to never be forgotten is that the civil rights movement really accomplished nothing. And that's just being truthful. If Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or any of them were alive today, they would be disgraced at what the world is, and they would be speaking out against it every moment. And they'd be disgraced to see their image and their name being disgraced. Let me just say disgraced again. I mean, just... I have a co-host saying things in my ear, but won't pick up a microphone, won't be on the show, and is just saying stuff, so it kind of messes up.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying
up.
To eat my lunch. Sorry. I was just kinda... They'd probably be upset to see what their image is turning into, like, you know, a t-shirt or, like, kind of like on Boondocks where, you know, the Martin Luther King Jr. episode.
You know what? I'm just going to play that Boondocks right now. I think that'll say everything. Nothing else needs to be said. It'll say it all. Let's play that clip. Then let's go to a song. You're listening to Savior Generation. This is Revere Radio Network. Stay tuned and you'll hear a little conversation I had with NJ Weedman, Edward Fortune, as well as Jello Biafra of Dead Kennedys, spoken word artist. So stay tuned. Only on ReveerRadio.net.
Is this it? This is what I got all those ass whoopings for. I had a dream once. It was a dream that little black boys and little black girls would drink from the river of prosperity, freed from the thirst of oppression. But lo and behold, some 4 decades later, what have I found but a bunch of trifling, shiftless, good-for-nothing niggas. And I know some of you don't want to hear me say that word. It's the ugliest word in the English language. But that's what I see now, niggas. And you don't want to be a nigger. 'Cause niggas are living contradictions. Niggers are full of unfulfilled ambitions. Niggers wax and wane. Niggers love to complain. Niggers love to hear themselves talk but hate to explain. Niggers love being another man's judge and jury. Niggers procrastinate until it's time to worry. Niggers love to be late. Niggers hate to hurry. Black entertainment television is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Usher, Michael Jackson is not a genre of music. And now I'd like to talk about Soul Plane. I've seen what's around the corner. I've seen what's over the horizon. And I promise you, you niggas have nothing to celebrate. And no, I won't get there with you. I'm going to Canada.
That music makes you feel downright patriotic, doesn't it?
Our nation must come together to unite. I know that human being and fish can coexist peacefully. Nobody needs to tell me what I believe, but I do need somebody to tell me where Kosovo is. The illiteracy level of our children are appalling.
Beware, I live.
I wake up to a caffeine, cigarette vaccine, and bathing water I wouldn't drink before gasoline. Feel like a loser cause I'm not in Fallujah, paying a Land Cruiser with an Iraqi then taking his Ruger. No M16 to give me a callus, human super malice for GOP Morales. Baby suicide bombers hurdle suitcases in the nursery. I'm in a deli and tuna tasting the mercury. Then try to wash it down with a $2 bottle of water. Get on the train and think of terrorists or box cutters. Gone concealer cause I see it real in reality. When I breathe through my nasal cavities, killing my batteries. Robbed the metropolis out all eye sockets. Esophagus is melted out. Some shy group look at their props for this. I need petrol for my Mercedes, but I'm not trying to kneel or die for Emperor Cheney. I'm crazy, but I will not just follow the herd. Unless, of course, it's a group to lynch Mike Bloomberg. Me and Pinfire gas pumping all its Saudi members are like, fuck you with New York's two middle fingers. If the opposite of pro was a con, then look, be honest, the opposite of Congress must be progress. What if the second coming's aborted and put in the dirt? I still don't know what to wear with this orange alert.
Run.
I was proud the other day when both Republicans and Democrats stood with me in the Rose Garden to announce their support for a clear statement of purpose. You disarm or we win.
American flags fly, morale's high. Unit of 20 or so repelling from Apaches in the sky. Into a village of killers, little Jimmy from Jackson. Mississippi just graduated and seeing action. M16 lock loaded and spitting properly. Whoever's in that line of fire, chest full of democracy. Turn a corner, team leader, neck up to the nose arm. Blown off, this is not PS2, so calm. Jimmy stays so calm. Shoots counting, nothing riddled in his back. Answers come flying out his stomach. Face down and his face up in the bed, almost dead. Eyes slightly open, IV bagging, no legs. A couple sandwiches, some bloody bandages. In a room full of amputee GI amateurs. He gets the word that his unit didn't make it. Got a free ticket home to flatline before he got to take it.
We're certain there are people that can't stand what America stands for. We're certain there are madmen in this world, and there's terror, and there's missiles, and I'm certain of this, too.
I hunger.
Cops take the scene up, gunner downs nine. They chasing away kids playing hopscotch in this chalk outline. Two F-16s screech at iridescent sky. Look down, we're not in Iraq, we're in NY. Rats in the streets, we move underground like earthworms. Two codes couldn't abort Satan in his first term. The army in the subway, walking with toolies. I'm on a train with the back of the dollar bill still talking to me. Drive with my laugh, I know what's right, my weapon hand. Like the map of D.C. streets, still shows a pentagram. License on a car window when I pass through, you see the news, no joke. New York State Department will blast you. My weatherman party is in right only, soldier. Cause with one wave of King G-Dub's scepter, it's over. The right to assemble puts the Bureau's team on you. Look into my file and nod that is why Jello screams on you.
By our efforts, we have lit a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day, this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world. It is the policy of the United States to seek and support the growth of democratic movements and institutions in every nature and culture with the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world, except right here at home. Yeehaw! Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Connie, give me some pretzels. Rummy, give me that Bible. Give me that Bible with the pages cut out like I'm a cocaine in. Come on, don't miss the Texas. I'll fuck anything that moves.
You are listening
to Save Your Generation. You are listening to Save Your Generation on ReverRadio.net. Biatch.
Welcome back, Save Your Generation, ReverRadio.net. You just heard Jello Biafra doing a guest appearance on the album Hell's Winter by Cage. If you haven't heard Cage, Cage is mad nice, son. And he's got a...
I'm way into Cage.
Yeah, that song Grand Old Party Crash is a great track off that album. Pick it up if you don't got it. We're going to be playing a lot of music that Jello Biafra has done. All right, so where should we start tonight? Well, that Dr. King, fake Dr. King, summed it up. I mean, you niggas got nothing to celebrate. I'm moving to Canada. Because when you look at... Never mind. I can't get into the whole Black History thing because it can go on all night. But he's exactly right. Dr. King fought for so much, and it's nothing right now. It's gone, and it's a pretend dream that there would be true equality, and not even in the sense of drinking at the same water fountains, but we're talking about economically, socially, educationally, and most importantly, politically. But it's not, and people think that it is, and they're happy because they get to go to the club and have big rims and rap on TV about having clothes and big rims. So it's all a fantasy, it's all an illusion, just like for anybody, though, because it's not only Black people that has now lost the sense that everyone is enslaved. Not white, Black, rich, poor, everyone is slave to the machine, to this Babylonian beast machine that everyone is trapped. But we are going to play the clip now. Well, I think we should set up the clip a little bit and tell you about what happened. So Sunday night, well, we drove down from Massachusetts to New Jersey because we were trying to get Jello to be on the show when he was around here in Providence, but he didn't have the time and was unable to, so I emailed his press manager, secretary guy, whatever, and he said that, yeah, he probably would be able to do it in New Jersey. If I contacted the show promoter, who was this guy, Randy. Now, Randy used to do shows back in the 80s, so he knew Jello from, like, the Dead Kennedys days at this place called City Gardens in Trenton. So Randy, I emailed him, had it all set up, and he said that, you know, Jello was going to be doing an interview about a book being written about City Gardens, so, you know, he would probably have enough time to do it. So I was willing to go down there and, you know, take an attempt, and I even got a film crew to go with me, the guys from njfilmcore.com. So check them out. They make some great movies. They have some very hilarious stuff for people that get it. Their splash page says, "Many will watch, few will get it," and that's exactly right. If you're not, if you don't have that type of humor, then you're not going to understand. You're just going to think it's, who knows what you'll think. Go to njfilmcore.com and find out. See if it's a type of stuff. But we met up with those guys who do that, Eric and what was this? Now I forgot. Sorry.
Don't embarrass yourself.
I know I am going
to
embarrass myself. I know I'm not going to remember. I never remember names, but I do remember faces.
They were some nice New Jersey boys, and we're happy to have met them.
Yeah, definitely. And I wish they would have stuck around, but who knew that the night would turn out the way that it did.
As long as it did.
So here's what happened. We get there. We show up early because we were supposed to be doing the interview before they went on. Again, it was NJ Weedman, which I was thinking, hey, it's a past guest already of the show, so he'll definitely be willing to do something again. And, you know, then I'll get Jello as well. So it'll be a twofer. It'll be great. Everything will work out perfectly. Everything will be real smooth and work out. So we meet up with the film crew there at around 5 o'clock, and nobody's there. And they were supposed to be there at 5. So we wait and wait, and eventually around 6 o'clock, you know, people are there, but the thing's supposed to start at 6:30. So eventually everything happens. The show goes on. We don't get to do the interview before the show. So we're thinking that maybe after the show we'll be able to do the interview. And at around, I guess around 9:30, our film crew says, hey, our time's up. We have to go. So they leave, and I'm thinking, now this is going to be a wasted trip. We've come down from Mass, and the film crew's gone, so the video's done. Maybe we'll still get a couple minutes of interview on here, but so we waited out, and around 1 o'clock in the morning, well, there was a whole bunch of other things happening in between that. Jello's set was 4 hours long, and it was over 4 hours long, but it was very interesting. He talked about a lot of different things. He talked about a lot of stuff that you hear on Revere. He talked about some stuff that falls in the left versus right, you know, anti-Christian type things, which is understandable because I was once the same way. I didn't really understand Christianity, and I just thought it was stupid, and I was against it, like many people do. But now that I see the truth, I see the way that these people aren't really Christian. They do things like the Bohemian Grove, and they use it as a cover because they know it's a control mechanism. But we talked about some of that stuff, and maybe I'll play some clips of his latest album, In the Grip of Official Treason, which is a tongue twister for me, I guess, but it's a good record nonetheless. 3 discs, you can't beat it. Go to alternativetentacles.com and you can pick that up. But yeah, the entire night that this last Sunday it happened was really interesting. I guess about maybe an hour or so into it, I'm disabled. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, I can't really stand much, but it was a packed house, so it was standing room only. There were some seats, but I didn't get one. So I was standing up, you know, kind of leaning on my cane a little bit, trying to, I can't really stand for too long, but I was trying to make it. I wanted to hear what he had to say, but eventually,
a very full house.
Very full. But I eventually had to step out to the other room where there were some other seats. I could still hear him through the wall, but as I went into the other room to sit down, someone, I guess he like sort of laughed at my shirt. I was wearing my Investigate 9/11 shirt, and I laughed, and he laughed. I said, what's funny? He's like, oh, your shirt. And I said to him, well, what's funny? You don't think that 9/11's worth investigating? That's the biggest event in American history. Why? I don't think it's funny. I don't think anybody would think 9/11's funny. And so we then get into the 9/11 conversation. I find out later this guy is like a big Republican. He was one of the bouncers or one of the people who worked at the club. And so for about 30 minutes we get into a heated debate, and then the person working the merch table, who I found out later was also an employee of, but he was a really cool guy. He was one of those older type hippie dudes who understand that the government is corrupt, but still no one is ready and willing to see the full scale of it. No one really wants to. So I gave them all DVDs, and hopefully they'll watch them. I gave them September 11 Revisited, Terror Storm. I gave some the Jello. But hopefully these people are going to be receptive and ready to wake up to this, because the facts don't change. And when I asked this one guy who worked there, the bouncer guy, you know, I said, well, what do you think about Building 7? Why do you think that fell? And immediately, like he was a perfect brainwashed citizen, he said, well, because there were gas reserves in the basement, and it made the... But I said, but the building fell from the top, not from the bottom, so why did gas in the basement cause the top to cringe and fall? And no one can ever have anything to say about this aside from what they've heard on TV be the explanation, that there was gas reserves in the basement. That, to me, sounds like the most absurd thing. And Jell-O doesn't think, well, I'll let you hear what he thinks. Maybe I'll just play it now. Can you think of anything else about that night? Because I did kind of want to give a little overview of the night.
Jell-O's merch was pretty intense.
Yeah, Jell-O had the most unbelievable merchandise. I think you can get some of it at alternativetentacles.com, too. That's T-E-N-T-A-C-L-E-S. Alternativetentacles.com is his record label that he started. But he has some. I got a couple of his shirts. One of them I thought was funny. I mean, we all know that the left, right, Democrat, Republican is a farce. But it's a shirt that says, "Vote Republican," and a swastika in the middle of it. So to me, that was funny because it's no denying that we've come closer to the Nazis ever than here in this last Republican 6 years we've been in it, seven, I don't even know how long it's been now. So, I mean, I guess it's appropriate, and I thought it was clever and funny. So vote Republican, we're the Nazi party.
There was one that was too intense to even get that we decided against. It said, "Mom, I'm home," and it had the picture of the caskets with the American flags over it. It's a little too, like, you know.
Yeah, that to me, I think someone would take a swing at you for, like, you're wearing a shirt with the caskets.
But
you
I'll get a swastika.
I mean, a swastika.
You're going to be.
I think it's undeniable that it's the Nazi regime. So I think that that's not debatable. But "Mom, we're home" in a casket
it's too kinda, sad.
I mean, I know that if my son or daughter or somebody came home like that and I saw somebody wearing that, I wouldn't see the humor in that. But at the same time, if I'm the person wearing it, I'm saying I'm not doing it to be funny. I'm doing it because for people like your son, people know the reality of it. So, I mean, you got to look at it from both ways. But the merch there, you got to go check it out. It's stuff that I know people in this movement would definitely be willing to support and buy. They had another one that said "Evil Dead." It's like a scary picture of
Dick Cheney doing his, like, "Arr!" face.
Cheney doing his face, but he looks absolutely monstrous. I had to get that one too because it was funny. And it says "Thought Crime Posse" on the back. So we are all in the Thought Crime Posse. So let's all wear it and be proud of it.
TCP.
Totally. But, all right. And we did get to hang out with Weed Man, who drives an 18-wheeler. He has his own truck.
Never seen anything like this.
You've never seen it.
Although you may someday on the highway.
I think you might have pictures of it on his site, but it says on the front of it, you know, trucks have their letters, their numbers or whatever, the identifying markers. His says Weed Man 420. No joke. This is a huge 18-wheeler I'm talking about. A Weedman 420 on the side. It's a picture of him, and it says, "Keep it real." And on the back is a picture of him with the NJ superhero shirt, and it says, "It's time for a revolution." So imagine a huge 18-wheeler with a huge... This is a gigantic picture.
Purple.
Yeah. I mean, driving around like this, our friend Corey, who was with us, was asking him, like, how do you not get stopped all the time when people know who's in here? But, you know, I'm sure the cops, once they realize that he is a celebrity, they're not going to sass him because they know that it will be in the paper the next day and they will be in the news and they will have a lawsuit. So it's awesome. Like, he is truly, truly an inspirational hero to me personally because of just his brazenness and how bold he is to do all this. That's what I wish I could do. You know, all of us have like a couple little stickers on our car and we think we're badass. Like, yeah, we're really speaking our mind. We're really doing. He's got
this guy
a
blows
customized
weed smoke in cops' faces.
Yeah, I mean, who do you do that? No, but I wouldn't, because I don't think I have the balls to do something like that, and I don't know how he does it, but we got to speak with him, and he has a whole lot of stuff in the works, so hopefully you'll be supporting that. And why don't we go to one more song right now, and then let's play another one of those Jell-O tracks, maybe one of the ones he does with Lara, I don't know, you'll just have to see what's up, and then we'll come back and we'll play what we talked about with Jell-O and NJ Weed Man. It was an absolutely great show. You should have come down to Trenton for it. It was totally worth it. Totally worth every hour of the drive. All right. We'll be right back on Save Your Generation, RevereRadio.net.
Now you do what they told you.
Stop doing what the Babylonian beast machine tells you to do. Listen to Save Your Generation. Now in its all-new time, 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights on RevereRadio.net.
Save Your Generation. pulling you from the flames of hell since 2006.
Burn! Burn! Get your gun to burn! Go to one!
I'm MJ Weedman, and I'm authorizing this course.
New Jersey weed man and Lopes, don't hesitate, vote. When my boy get elected, we all gon' smoke. It's a conspiracy, the way they choosing for us. But if you speak your mind in time, they gon' be losing to us. Confusion is done, cause he gon' tell the truth about them. The government and politicians, they polluting our lungs. We gotta end the war on heaven, by together as one. Check out the website, NewJerseyWeedMan.com. Legalize it. Peace.
house, wrong house. That's how they work. That was Drug Raid at 4 a.m. by Lard. That's a side project of Ministry's Al Jurgensen that he does with Jello Biafra. And if you heard Ministry's last album, you know that Al is well aware of the 9/11 truth. He even had samples from Loose Change, Dylan Avery, speaking on the Lies, Lies, Lies track. Jello did a track on that one, Ass Clown. But I wonder if Al has sat Jello down to watch Loose Change with him and say, hey, why don't you check this out? Why don't you look at this? I should have asked him that, but as you'll see, the way that this interview was going, we were in a noisy, crowded room. Everyone was packing up, getting ready. Jello, he had spoke for 4.5 hours, yet still afterwards, he went to like a little private room where he sat for about maybe 5 minutes just resting. Like other people, you think people go rest for like 30 minutes or something before they come back out and do like autographs or anything. Jello went in for 5 minutes, you know, took a little breather after talking for 4 hours, and then came out and signed everybody's stuff. Now that to me is one of the coolest things I've ever seen anyone ever do. Any artist, any musician, anybody who isn't a super just prima donna who thinks they're better than everyone. He's just a real down to earth guy. And it was, I mean, Weed Man too, for that matter. Weed Man is one of the most down-to-earth, awesome people that I've ever met, and he was absolutely cool to hang with, to go sit in his amazing 18-wheeler and chill. But let's go to that clip right now, and you'll hear it. I mean, you can hear noise in the background. Actually, the first, I guess, about 5 or 7 minutes with Weed Man, I actually didn't get, because I thought it was too much noise, so we were talking, and I think I accidentally erased it. So we got most of what was said, but I should have been taping all of it because I thought it was too much noise. I didn't think you'd be able to make out anything, so I was just kind of just giving up. But I should have just taped all of it because Jello knows even about the Bohemian Grove. And, you know, we talked about a lot of good stuff, but then we were interrupted by someone who I thought was going to bring something decent to the table. He's one of the club managers, not Randy, who I was hoping to get. Randy, another down-to-earth real dude, had to be off to his other job. So, I mean, this is the real DIY. This is what punk rock is all about. And these people not only preach it, but they live it for real. This is not the punk rock you see on TV, where they have black nail polish and millions of dollars. So, I mean, let's support the real and the real. Go to randynow.com now and check out all the old stuff he has from the 80s. Maybe I'll play some audio from that. He has videos of Dead Kennedys from the 80s when they used to play at City Gardens. He did Danzig's first show ever. He has that, some audio from that. And it's awesome. These people are literally the people who paved the way for the way that we live now, for our, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's how I grew up. You, maybe not, but the people out there who know what I'm talking about grew up listening to these bands that these people were in. And all right, so let's play the clip and you'll hear how awesome or unawesome you make the choice that it is.
You're listening to Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech and the number one activist site on the internet, revereradio.net. Step into our world.
They get a terror storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. And I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio. Revere Radio.
Welcome to a very special Save Your Generation. We are coming to you live on location from Trenton, New Jersey, where I just witnessed a very, very exhilarating and inspirational night of spoken word from a past guest and hopefully a future guest, if we can get him for just one moment. Here I came down from Massachusetts to see a former guest, Mr. Edward Fortune, NJWeedman.com, do spoken word with someone that you may or may not know out there. He was the singer of an influential 80s hardcore punk band named the Dead Kennedys, and his name is Jello Biafra, and he's standing by, and we might be fortunate enough to get a word with him in just a moment. But right now, we're with NJ Weedman, and I just want to get your opinion on tonight. the crowd seemed to love you. Everybody was very receptive. It was a great crowd. Everybody here were like-minded individuals who want change and want the truth. And what did you see out there, and how did you feel? What vibes were you getting?
Just the fact that there were so many like-minded people here made it, you know, very easy to communicate. You know, most people here, whether they smoked weed or they associated with people who smoked weed, they all thought that marijuana should be legal. And they were very open to what I had to say. And I tried to get into other issues besides marijuana. Basically, it's about freedom, and that's what we talked about here tonight.
Exactly. That is what it's about. It's about being free to not only think, but to speak and to do whatever to your body personally. And that's what I think everybody on revereradio.net can agree with. What is in the future for you? You did this tonight. Do you have other appearances coming up, or are you working on some projects? Do you have a movie in the works?
Well, I'll tell you what I got. I got all those in the works. Actually, I'm running for office this year, 2007. I'm running for 3 offices. I'm running for U.S. Congress in the 3rd District. I'm running for State Senate in the 8th District, and I'm running for Burlington County Freeholder, all under the Legalized Marijuana Party. I also have two cases that I'm fighting publicly. A First Amendment case. I got fired from my job in 2000.
It's unbelievable.
In 2006, when I announced that I was running, 2005, excuse me, when I announced I was running for governor. So I'm fighting that against.
Imagine that. You lose your job because you want to hold office. Isn't that unbelievable?
Because I wanted to participate in the system.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
The election system, the democratic system. You know, I get fired, you know, because they didn't like my politics. I guess you can only have a job if you're a Democrat or Republican. No legalized marijuana party guy.
No. No Green Party either. You can't even, I mean, that even is a taboo. You can only go for the two parties. And if you're not one of the two parties, then you're not at the party. You're not invited to their party. But
that's my civil case that way. I also have a federal case because the state of New Jersey refused to let me or allow me to have a relationship with my daughter. I have a webpage that I'd like everyone to watch, read. It's njweedman.com/stolen_child.html. And watch the links. All the pictures are hyperlinks. There are videos. They go to other places. But anyway, check out all the links on that page, and it explains that case.
That case, to me, is the most frightening. And to anyone listening to revereradio.net who has children, that should also be frightening to you, because it just shows that they can take your children for whatever reason that they might find, whether it be because you have a sink full of dirty dishes or because you have a different religion than what is socially acceptable here in the United States of America. And me, having 2 children, I'm terrified by something like that. And that's what they want to do. They want to invoke terror into all of us. So what we need to do is we need to speak out and fight back and support people like Edward Fortune, who is doing just that. So why don't you all go to njweedman.com and read about his case, read about his tribulation.
Jello is kind of close. Maybe we can get Jello.
Maybe we can get Jello. Maybe if we just sneak up behind him and hand him a microphone, then he is a busy man. He probably does have a lot to do, but it would be great if we could just get even a question out of
Jello,
him.
Jello, is there any way we can get a word or two?
Here we go.
All right. I want to talk to you about one thing that I heard you say on record, and you said it tonight, and something that maybe other people, I think I know what you might be hinting towards, but you call, I think, George Bush and someone else reptilian. And when I hear reptilian, to me, that keys the David Icke, the reptilian conspiracy. And I was wondering if you were familiar with that.
And Not at all.
No.
No.
Oh, well, there's a man from the UK. His name is David Icke, who has
the second person tonight talking about him.
Well, I guess it was a coincidence, because I'd never heard anybody say reptilian before in reference to these political figures. So when I heard you say it, I was like, whoa, maybe he's also speaking about David Icke or that. I mean, not to say that you buy into that theory, because I think it's a little far-fetched. I think people, sometimes things can be not literal, but figurative. Like, people can be figuratively, like the way you use it, these reptilian people. But just curious if you were up on that.
No, I can't keep up with all the conspiracy theories. I mean, you look under any rock, you're going to find a conspiracy. And when you think about it, life is a conspiracy. Yeah. I mean, I put the 911 conspiracy stuff in the same rubbish bin as the Clintons killed Vince Foster conspiracy, or the space aliens control all our overlords conspiracy, or whatever.
Yeah, I don't buy into conspiracy theories either, but how
hey,
about...
I went to prison on conspiracy. Well, I conspired to get marijuana to people who wanted it.
Well, that's... A conspiracy would happen... It would have to be more than one person. So you... How are they saying you were a conspiracy? It would have to be, you know, two people to be a conspiracy.
Well, I knew someone who had a lot of money and someone who wanted a lot of weed or had a lot of weed, and they kind of put them together and they called it a conspiracy. But anyway.
Let me guess. The person who had a lot of money turned out to be a police officer.
No, actually the opposite. The person who had a lot of weed, after he got caught, the person who had a lot of weed decided to talk and cooperate. So actually the person who had a lot of weed actually got less time than everyone else. Because he had information.
I thought of a second question that I wanted to ask you, because you said that you put the 9/11 conspiracy in the same bin with the others, but I mean, I think that there are certain questions that are unanswered, even by the 9/11 Commission, because they didn't mention at all Building 7. And to me, that is something odd. If they were paid all this money to get a full investigation of everything, then it's obvious there wasn't a full investigation if they left out a very prominent building, 47 stories, falling for no reason.
There may or may not have been a reason. I don't know, and I think they should have investigated that, yes. But I have been in the last major earthquake in San Francisco where buildings and freeways fell. Some of them fell because something next to them fell, and that seismic effect alone cracked the foundation and the structure of another building, and then that one would go down. So it's highly possible that might have been what happened. It's just because when the Twin Towers come down, it's not only all that debris, there's a lot of air, huge amount of air getting compressed out of those buildings that would be enough to really fuck up another building.
I definitely agree.
Especially if there's a lot of debris flying that weighs as much as a flying dump truck or something. So I don't know.
Yeah, the only thing with that is that those buildings came down before 10 a.m., but then Building 7 didn't come down until almost 6. It was at 5:20 or something in the afternoon.
Oh,
so
I've had piles of CDs stacked 5 feet tall, and then one day, for no logical reason, they fall.
Well, that's true, but you didn't have to investigate it because it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't 3,000 people dead, and I think that, you know, me personally, I don't buy into conspiracy theories. I've heard people try to guess what they think happened. And I think that the fact of the matter is we don't know what happened. No one really knows what happened. And I think that we need a second independent investigation. I don't think that's a lot to ask for to anyone. I mean, to really know the truth, especially even if they only did Building 7, because that's something that wasn't even brought up in the first one. So I think that if you just do a new investigation that's independent, make sure you get Building 7 this time, because that's important, and then everybody will be happy if it's truly independent.
Oh, I don't think everybody will be happy.
No, not the people who got Building 7 left out the first time. They won't be happy.
And there are people who claim that the planes were merely a ruse to disguise the bombs, too, in which case, why use the planes at all? And then there's others who say there weren't actually any planes. That was only on television. Or I know people in New York who saw the second plane hit the second building with their own eyes. So, I don't know.
Well, I think that...
I was in jail. I saw it from jail.
I saw it in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I saw it in my own personal prison in a wheelchair. I was disabled for many months. I had a broken C2, two broken ankles. Now I just have a little cane, but I was in a wheelchair for many months, and I watched it in a wheelchair, and it really had an effect on me. I think me, myself, being in my own personal tragedy, then seeing that you know, our lives are so small that there is a whole outside going on no matter what's happening in our lives. So I think that's what really got me interested in investigating and seeing what happened on. All right. And from there, it takes a completely different turn. We start talking about me, and Jello actually does give me great advice. I don't know if I should play it though. It's kind of, I let myself get distracted. I think it's another thing from my, I don't know, I have a short attention because of my brain, and my brain learnings is all messed up. So I'm easily distracted. If someone says something else, they can get me going on that tangent. You probably notice from listening to this show that in a split second, I'll think of something else and I'll just go off on that. Or I'll hear Lindsay in the background saying something, that'll get me distracted and I'll go off on that. Or somebody, anything could set me off. And it happened in this with Jello. So I didn't get to talk to him anymore about 9/11. But when we get back, we'll talk about what he said. Just listen to a song right now, and then we'll maybe hear the rest of that, what Jello had to say, and then some other guy comes in. So, all right, this is Save Your Generation. Thanks for listening tonight.
Gentlemen, we have called you together to inform you that we are going to overthrow the United States government.
You still think that jet fuel brought down the World Trade Center? Does anybody else see a problem here? If the government has nothing to hide, why are they so afraid to answer a few questions? This story does not add up.
I'm on a mission to never forget. Denies the people that I've never met. We want some answers and all that we get. Some kind of shit about a terrorist.
Lies.
All right, let's play the rest of that clip now from Sunday night, and you'll hear what happens when cripples get distracted. Well, that's true, but you didn't have to investigate it because it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't 3,000 people dead. And I think that, you know, me personally, I don't buy into conspiracy theories. I've heard people try to guess what they think happened, and I think that the fact of the matter is we don't know what happened. No one really knows what happened. And I think that we need a second independent investigation. I don't think that's a lot to ask for to anyone. I mean, to really know the truth, especially even if they only did Building 7, because that's something that wasn't even brought up in the first one. So I think that if you just do a new investigation that's independent, make sure you get Building 7 this time, because that's important. And then everybody will be happy if it's truly independent.
Oh, I don't think everybody will be happy.
No, not the people who got Building 7 left out the first time. They won't be happy.
And there are people who claim that the planes were merely a ruse to disguise the bombs, too. In which case, why use the planes at all? And then there's others who say there weren't actually any planes. That was only on television. Or I know people in New York who saw the second plane hit the second building with their own eyes. So, I don't know.
Well, I think that
I was in jail. I saw it from jail.
I saw it in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I saw it in my own personal prison in a wheelchair. I was disabled for many months. I had a broken C2, two broken ankles. Now I just have a little cane, but I was in a wheelchair for many months, and I watched it in a wheelchair, and it really had an effect on me. I think me, myself, being in my own personal tragedy, then seeing that, you know, our lives are so small that there is a whole outside going on, no matter what's happening in our lives. So I think that's what really got me interested in investigating and seeing what happened on September 11th.
You know, we rejoice that you're not in a wheelchair, too.
Yes, it's. I mean, the fact that I only have a cane after that is unbelievable to me, because I was in a wheelchair for many months.
Which begs to ask, do you use medical marijuana?
Absolutely, because I was prescribed Oxycontin for my pain, and that was an absolutely ridiculous drug. And I was on that, and it gave, I mean, you know, you can't go to the bathroom when you're on something like that. You have terrible trouble. It's actually unbelievable. And I told my doctor I need to get off these drugs. So he said, all right, try Vioxx or Celebrex, which then gives people heart attacks. So I said,
I had hydrocortisone.
Maybe that's why Rush Limbaugh was so fucked up, because because his intestines had turned to cement.
Exactly. It has to be.
And then his head did too.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's what happened to his ears, his hearing.
Really, it does. That's one of the side effects.
Really? Well, truly.
It destroys the small canal.
Yeah.
Truly, medical cannabis is what has saved me. Jello, I just want to say thank you so much for joining us and even taking this time out, because it's truly a privilege and an honor, because I think everybody here grew up listening to you, and still to this day we're still listening to you, and we still care what you have to say, and we still
that is a rare privilege, and it also puts pressure on that I better make it worth your while too.
Well, it is, and it is to everyone. And I hope tonight.
I hope somebody's got you learning some stretches to do the rest of your life for your injuries, too.
No, they don't. And I wish they did. Because I really
saved my ass. I mean, I didn't do them because of injury. I did them because I learned them in a couple classes. There were supposed to be acting classes, but they did all this body work. And never could have done the Dead Kennedy shows without the stretches.
Well, that's
so.
That's honestly something I'm going to look into, because I have been having terrible pain.
I have an Achilles tendon that was cut in half and sewn back together, and I just stretched that on the ball of my foot on stairs. You know, because otherwise, if I let it just sit there, it's going to ossify, become arthritic, and if I take off running from the police, for example, I could rip it. So you got to take care of that. You got to learn some shit somehow, yoga or whatever, just hop around Tai Chi, something.
That's probably the best advice I've gotten all night, because I am
real serious.
I have horrible arthritis in both of them.
The
hemp oil.
Our security guy did say, don't smoke pot on the stoop and don't give money to crackheads. So that might be the best.
All right, there is where you hear an interjection with a voice that was neither funny nor interesting, and I should have just ignored it, but then he kept going, and then he eventually works his way onto the show. So you'll hear that in a minute. But Jell-O was really giving me some decent advice, and I really, really wish that I hadn't been interrupted, because I wanted to hear what else he had to say, but you'll see Jell-O from here has just disappeared. He's off doing his thing. He got tired and needed to go finish up so he could get out of there. It was nearing 2 o'clock. He wanted to go find some place to rest his head, which is very understandable, but the advice he was giving me about my ankles is what I've been, well, I'll talk about it in a minute. Here's the rest.
Well, advice you got all night, but
definitely the best advice. Because smoking on the stoop will get you.
It'll take a while to get this, but you know how I try to prevent ankle injuries? I walk on the sides of my feet every day.
Now that I would like to try, but unfortunately, I have two plates and four pins going across both ankles.
I jump up and land wrong, and it bends. It's going to bend right back again.
Yeah, because it's like elasticity from stretching it out.
Well,
all right, now here is where the interview with Jell-O officially ended. This guy is in my ear telling me, can I tell a story? Can I tell a story? Can I tell you a story? And I'm thinking he's going to have something brilliant to say, because he's hounding me literally. And I told you, my attention, if something else is going on, it's going to go to it. So here is Jell-O trying to tell me something, telling me to get some alternative physical therapy, which is truly what I need, something that's going to better my life. And then here I have something outside, which is absolute garbage, that is really nothing that's going to better my life. And I think that's really symbolic of what happens in life all the time to anyone. You have something right in front of you that is where you really need to be, but you're getting distracted by some outside interference. And that's what they try to do with anything. They always want this interference to come in there and distort and just take away from what really could be useful in your life. And at that point, after this guy comes on, I thought, maybe I was just thinking, if I let him come on, he'll be quick, and then I can just get him to stop saying, can I tell you something? So maybe he was drunk and that's why, but as soon as he came up, Jell-O was like, all right, I guess that means I'm done, and walked away. So regardless of what he said about 9/11, this is something that I heard it from my doctors all the time, that that's what I needed, but I really don't trust doctors, because whenever I go into a doctor, all they're trying to do is pump me full of more drugs and get me hooked on their drugs so I can become one of those people who just pay out the butt every month in order to sustain their drug habits to the pharmaceutical companies, and I don't want to be one of those people. So I'll rather wobble with my little cane and be, a cripple if it means taking Oxycontin or some other type of drugs, which will give me temporary relief. But Jell-O was giving me an alternative. He was telling me that stretching worked for him. And if you know him, he's over 50. He's an old dude, and he looks great. He can go talk in front of a group for 4.5 hours and look like it's no big deal. So I think he has something to what he's saying, and I only wish I could have spoken more with him about that. But all right, I'll play the rest of it now so you can hear this dumb story that the club manager just had to tell me. I wish we could have had Randy, because Randy would have had some actually entertaining and awesome stories that were relevant to what really we were talking about, not just, all right, let's just play it.
See if you can find some alternative physical therapy.
We're going to hear a story from, tell me your name, Mr.
My name's Cameron. I'm the club manager here. I had a friend who was on business in Miami, was at a nightclub, and accidentally went out the wrong door and found himself on a balcony about 40 feet above the, well, I won't exaggerate, 20 feet above the balcony, above the boardwalk. He jumped. He decided to jump because he was drunk. He broke both his heels, and now they're replaced by cadaver's heels. And that's my story.
That's my biggest fear. I'm fearing that if I have to do another surgery, they're going to give me false feet or something ridiculous, but all right. We are finished with the interview now. Everybody's off doing their thing, but I'm so happy that I got to even sit down and speak to Jell-O Biafra. If you don't know who he is, type his name into Google and see all the amazing things that this man has done. The Dead Kennedys. Oh, make sure you go to alternativetentacles.com and pick up his latest In the Grip of Official Treason, because it is a great spoken word. And if he comes to your town, make sure you go see him, because you will undoubtedly, I need to wrap it up because we're getting kicked out of this club. What time is it? It's one after 1 a.m. And all right, actually, you know what? Maybe I'll take a break. Maybe we'll see if we can do a little bit more. This is Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. We're live on location, Trenton, New Jersey. What am I doing back in New Jersey? Who cares? Maybe another day, maybe another time I'll get to speak with this legend. Probably not. Have a good night. Maybe I'll be back.
Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not, I just did so much damage to my body and my brain. Do you think that smoking, because I got to tell you, I'm a former drug user, and I am not,
I just did so much damage to my body and my brain.
Reverse the brain damage. It's not too late. Listen to Save Your Generation. Only on RevereRadio.net. Corporate media equals brain damage.
Brain damage ever since the day I was born. Drugs, what they used to say I was on.
All right, that was Gorilla Ambush Journalism at its best, and it couldn't have been done without Ed Fortune, NJ Weedman. He's the one who totally just pulled Jello into it. I mean, he was packing up his merch, doing his shirts and things. He didn't even have a roadie or anyone there with him. So he does all, even all that he does by himself. That's how DIY he is. But, so Weedman grabs Jello and he gets him to come talk to us. But I was totally unprepared. It's like 1:30 in the morning. And I'm thinking that I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody, so I don't have my notes, I don't have anything in front of me. I'm just kind of talking to Weed Man. We're just kind of shooting the breeze, as you can tell. You can listen to it, but then he sees Jello like nearing us, so he just goes over and kind of shoves the mic in his face and gets him to talk, which is amazing because I wouldn't have been able to do it ever. So, but before that, what had happened? I had asked Jello if we could maybe get a second, and he said that he might be have time for one question, but his one stipulation would be that the question couldn't be about 9/11. So I was thinking, all right, if it can't be about 9/11, then I'm not even going to sweat it. He said it couldn't be about 9/11 because there wasn't enough time, and he said it would take a lot of time to have that conversation. Which obviously, anytime you talk about 9/11, it can't just be a quick one question thing. So I, you know, when he did come over, when Weed Man got him, then I'm thinking, all right, now what do I ask him, and what can be done with one question? And what I think is what he said earlier in the night, and what I've heard him say on record. Now, if you've ever listened to his spoken word, you might have heard him say something. Actually, maybe I'll just play it right now.
Even his father, in a rare moment of candor on September 11th of the next day on TV, gave his own son a no-confidence vote when he was asked, well, is your son ready for the task ahead? And he smiled that clenched-teeth reptilian grin of his. Oh, I don't think anyone is prepared for something like this, but he has a great team around him. He has a great team around him. And it's the team that scares me the most.
So, Jello, what do you think that's saying? If his team is what scares you the most, that's what I was trying to tell you. Maybe it's his team that's made these things happen. You know, people think that George Bush is just some idiot, but we all know that that's not the case. He's a good actor. That's what he is. He's very good at acting. But he said the reptilian thing. Now, whenever I hear anybody talking about George Bush being reptilian, doesn't the first thing that come to your mind, oh, David Icke? I mean, that just seemed obvious to me. And he said it again that night in Trenton live. So I was like, whoa, why is he keep repeating this? So I had to ask him that. That's the first thing that jumped into my mind. And strangely enough, I guess it's just a coincidence, he never heard of David Icke, but someone else, another crazy coincidence, he said someone else that night had mentioned David Icke to him before I did. So, I mean, maybe that's a sign. Maybe Jello needs to look into David Icke. You, Jello out there listening, listen to David Icke and find out what he's got to say, because he's got it all right when he talks about the New World Order and how they operate and the different facets that it encompasses. So, Jello doesn't think that 9/11 is a conspiracy, but he does say that he thinks World Trade Center 7 should have been investigated and should be investigated. I think any logical person would think so. And I think that any logical person would therefore have to say that because it wasn't investigated, there is a conspiracy, because anybody can see that a building fell. How does the 9/11 commission, who is paid to investigate, not see that? There would have to be a conspiracy, someone making sure that it doesn't end up in that book or end up in that investigation. It just seems like putting two and two together to me. So why, maybe Jell-O just isn't going to, I mean, he has to know the real facts about it. If he knows Al Jurgensen, then he definitely, I think, I don't think he would put it on record and not tell the people that he does other records with and tell his friends. What do you think?
No, well, I just think he said something about World Trade Center 7, about how if the truth came out and you, like, everyone would be happy. And he's like, not everyone would be happy.
Yeah, definitely not everyone. The people who got it, like I said, the people who got it left out the first time definitely won't be happy if there's an investigation done on Building 7, period. They won't be happy, but that shouldn't affect any of us, because we want the truth, right? So why should we care who's happy and who's not happy? We just want the truth. We're not looking for happiness. But he also says that Clinton and the Vince Foster thing is rubbish, but if you look into that case too, a lot of stuff does not point to suicide, kind of like Kurt Cobain, is no suicide there. But all in all, I'm really glad that I got to have his opinion and his thoughts on all these things, because it is important, I think, for everybody to be questioned and challenged. So if you can go meet someone that you consider, I don't know what you would consider them, something relevant, a relevant spokesperson for something like this in a political sense. You need to get their opinions on these things and see what they have to say. Now, Jell-O didn't convince me. I still don't think that fire could have brought it down, and I still don't think that earthquakes could have brought down Building 7 at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It just doesn't seem feasible. And science says that it's not, because if you look at the physics of it, the speed and the velocity that they came down so uniformly with such precision, it couldn't have been done by fire. Fire would have been a real sloppy, crumbly fall, especially an earthquake. Have you ever seen buildings in an earthquake? They crumble, pieces fall here, pieces fall there. They don't come down uniformly. And if you look at Building 7, it's uniform. And you got to look at the laws of gravity, conservation of energy, things like that say that they could not have fallen and had no resistance to fall so fast without the aid of an outside force. The outside force would be an explosive charge. Now, Jell-O, during his set, at one point said that he didn't think that bombs could be placed into the buildings, because the people working there would be see the bombs. They would have to be so big to bing that. This is what he said. The bombs would have to be so big in the buildings that the people would see them. Now, it takes either massive bombs, okay, or just a couple fires to bring. Now, that to me, it doesn't seem right. It's got to be one or the other. So you're telling me that fire is as explosive?
Yeah, you made a point of saying how huge the explosives would have to be to bring it down, and how much work and planning it would be, and how it would be noticed. But if it took so much to bring it down, then how could just
a simple fire,
something designed for it
down
to happen, exactly? You know, it's designed for a plane to go into it. Like they said, it would be like a pencil through a windscreen.
So that to me was something else that I wish I would have had more time to speak with him about, and a little quieter, a little quieter area, a little privacy. I mean, I was thankful just to have that, but it was just, you got to imagine at 1 a.m. in a bar, all the people just standing around. That guy, who the club manager, was probably drunk when he interrupted and gave us that beautiful story about his friend jumping off a balcony or something, breaking his feet or something like that. I don't know. You can just tell about that interview. It was very chaotic and very just thrown together at the last minute, but hey, you can do the same thing. You can probably do it way better. So go out there and find some people, throw a mic in their face, and get them to talk about. Don't just go up to them and say, do you think 9/11 was an inside job? I mean, that to me, I don't think is effective. But if you debate them with the facts, they won't be able to, or they'll have to try to convince you with facts. And Jell-O tried to convince me with facts, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it's fire, and I don't buy it's a tremor of an earthquake coming down.
and science happens to agree with me. Now, does that mean that I now say dead Kennedys suck and I don't want to listen to Jealous Spoken Word? Of course not. You know, he doesn't have to be, I guess, a gatekeeper or looked at as someone who is against 9/11 truth. Maybe he truly, sincerely doesn't just... I know some people in my peace group, for example, who are about his age. You got to remember, Jello was born in the 50s, so he's even older than my parents. So it's like, I can understand the mentality of those people. They aren't ready to see the entire full scale, but all of them say the same stuff about corporations and things, kind of like the Chomsky view. So it just seems kind of what I expected, to be perfectly honest. Sadly, I really didn't expect him to come out and say, yeah, I'm totally agree with you. Now you go to Al Jergensen and ask him, and he's going to tell you straight up, yeah, did you listen to my record? Duh. But, you know, we need to be finding out these things and seeing who is on the team, I guess. Who is on to it? Who is on to the truth? All right. And with that little, let's go to a song right now. Maybe I'll play a clip from that Dead Kennedys at City Gardens. It's absolutely awesome. Check it out. This is Save Your Generation on the one and only Revere Radio Network. Oh, also, when we get back, I'll play the rest of that interview with NJ Weedman. We did talk for a few more minutes after that. He let us know about his new movie that's coming out. So after this song, couple of songs, I'll come back and then we'll play the rest of that for you.
Most wars are based on the lies of the government. Our government's war in Iraq is no different than our war on marijuana. Both are based on lies. In our war in Iraq, there was a government claim that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and we were in imminent danger. In our 30-year-long war on marijuana, the government claims marijuana is dangerous. We, the people, know the truth.
We will fight for our flag. We will fight to the death to save her. We will fight to save the red, white, and blue blindfold. The security blanket so close to the cheek as phony patriotic rednecks sit and suck their thumb. America, love it or leave it, ignore the racism, ignore the landlords, ignore a stupid goddamn war in Nicaragua. You got the blindfold billowing in the breeze. I love this land too, it's the only thing I got. But I don't think it's showing love just to hide behind a little flag like Archie Bunker. And let yourself be used in the fall, just like Rome. We've seen 1984. Now Reagan wants the Third World War. And you will be the secret police. California, we're around. 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 California, we're around.
have to get past this. Oh, I'm just so heartbroken because John Kerry isn't president now. And I mean, how much difference would that have really made? He supports the war in Iraq, too, after all. Totally into the most horrific policies of Israel's government. Totally wanted to kick ass in Venezuela to go after Hugo Chavez. Same reasons as Bush. Oh, he's talking to Castro. Well, everybody in this hemisphere does, except our government. Well, he's exporting revolution. Well, if all we give poor countries is sweatshops and Abu Ghraib and military invasions, somebody better be exporting revolution.
Welcome back to Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. We are exporting revolutionary ideas. I guess that could be a reason not to talk with us, because you can't handle the truth. But Jell-O seems to know the truth, at least in the matter of the Gore and Kerry issues. He has, that was from his latest, I believe it's on his latest, In the Grip of Official Treason, where he says, you know, what difference would it make? Kerry had the exact same policies as Bush. So, he, at some issues, he sees the same way that people in the truth movement, but in other ways, he's a little more in the whole left-right paradigm and into the whole matrix. He does believe in global warming, but aside from that, I think the reason why I was so interested in getting his opinion on this, because like I said before, I grew up listening, lots of people did, grew up listening to his music, and without people like Jell-O Biafra, how many of us could say that we would be in this movement or be interested in politics at all? I know that if it wasn't for the music that I listened to growing up as a, quote, punk rocker kid, I would not have... It is what molded me to this, and it would be foolish to say that it didn't, listening to bands like Dead Kennedys and Propagandhi and Minor Threat and all the other bands that tell you not to just listen to what you're told all the time, that it's okay to ask questions and it's okay to think that our policies that we have in this country, the quote-unquote best country in the world, we need to examine them and see if that's true or is that just a catchphrase. And if it wasn't for people like Jell-O, I know me for one, and I'm sure a lot of people out there listening right now would not be where you are today. So I guess that's why it almost, I wouldn't say it hurts. It didn't hurt. He didn't make me cry. I didn't feel like, say it ain't so, Jell-O. You can't see the obvious controlled demolition. You don't see that Larry Silverstein said they're going to pull the building. You know, you could go on, but that's not going to change someone's mind. But you can be thankful for that person that they've affected your life and they've opened your eyes, even if they don't see all that you see. You've just advanced further beyond that. So we all are the new underground. We're the new alternative. We are the new people who are paving the way for others now, the way that he paved the way for us. We now are carrying the torch, and now this is us, the youth. It's a youth that God has ordained, and he's calling you, as HR once said. But let's listen to the rest of that. Speaking of another Rastafarian, the end of that NJ Weedman interview, we got to speak a little bit before they completely kicked us out. He is the best PR dude in the world. He can make anything happen. And they were trying to rush us out of there, but he was like, you know, we're just going to keep on going for a little while. So we got to wrap up. And here's the end of that interview with Edward Fortune, running for a senator in New Jersey, well as a couple others. So check them out at njweedman.com. Welcome back to Save Your Generation. We're sitting down again with NJ Weedman at the 449 Room in Trenton, New Jersey. If you ever get to Trenton, you need to get there. Check out the website, randynow.com, and check out the awesome audio, video, and pictures that he has from 3 decades of putting on amazing quality DIY punk and hardcore. If you don't know about City Gardens in Trenton, then you haven't been around the scene probably ever. And if you don't know about the 449 Room, then you aren't up on what's hip now. But Mr. Weedman, can we speak a little bit about your movie that's coming out? Because I saw a trailer for it on your website, and I am excited to see what else is going to be in store for everyone to learn about, you know, the probably my all-time favorite activist, my true political activist, he's a true, real, down-to-earth, not like people say that everybody in the media or whoever are bought and paid for and aren't, you know, true grassroots participants. But
I could be paid for.
Well, everybody has their price. You know,
marijuana.
Same here. That is my price, you know, as well. That's my price.
If you or just donate to my campaign, and my payback will be some marijuana.
Exactly, everybody. Now that is a return that you cannot. NJWeedman.com, and that is the truth. You better hit it up right now. But who is making the movie, and what? Just tell us a little bit about it.
It's a crew here in Trenton called Lunar Vision, Lunar Productions. And it's based on my protest at the Liberty Bell. So it's called NJ Weedman Rings the Bell. But in it, he's been following me around for like 3 years with his video. He was here tonight. He videoed for a little while. So we're going to edit all these different appearances in. He's got me sometimes just bullshitting, just talking, you know, just us hanging out, smoking. It's going to be, we believe, under an hour. We're going to try to make it a 45-minute film festival submission, and we're going to submit to a bunch of
films. That's a good time. You know, a lot of people these days have a short attention span. So.
Right, you can't get too deep, too long. And
that's a perfect Google video link if you're going to have it up on there. You know, the internet's really the big new thing. People aren't going to the movies. People aren't watching TV. People are going to YouTube and Google Video. And don't you have a YouTube that has all of
it? I have YouTube that has maybe 25% of my videos up there. I actually have, for some reason, I haven't been able to figure out how to compress these long 45-minute videos because you're only allowed 100 megs. But anyway, if you go to YouTube and, you know, do a search for NJ Weedman, if you type in New Jersey Weedman, you'll find me. But NJ Weedman is the best way to find me. And you'll see a bunch of my political ads. And you can see that movie trailer. On the trailer currently, it says it will be out in the spring of 07. But actually, we've already decided that it will be July of 07, which is actually summertime.
Great, great. Everybody be looking on the outlook for that. Be on the lookout for that coming up soon. What else do you have in the works? Anything else?
I know that you are very busy, and
you always got something going on.
Well, right now I'm in the middle of planning exactly and coordinating with Philly Normal. Philly Normal is a group I've worked with in the past. And what we're trying to do, and I hope all your listeners will show up, no matter, you know, look at the details, go to Philly Normal, because the details aren't finalized, so I can't really say the details, other than to say that we are proposing to have a peaceful pot parade on April 20th, which will be protesting the war in Iraq and protesting the war on us marijuana users. It will be in Philly. On Independence Day, like I said, 420 at Independence Hall, if you don't know the history, at Independence Hall is where that Liberty Bell rests, and it's a symbolic for freedom throughout the world, that image of the Liberty Bell. So here we are, we're going to exercise freedom. We plan on exercising freedom there. I'd like to say at 420 we're going to perform a ceremony too. Someone will, you know, of course, say a prayer, and my hope is as many people will join me in the ingesting of a sacrament.
The war on drugs, if you think about it, the war on drugs is the same thing as the war in Iraq and the war on terror. It's a war that isn't a real war. It's to get money. And it's to get gain for corporations. The only reason cannabis is illegal is because its natural resources would outdo all of the corporations which get money now, like plastics and petrochemicals and papers. And the war on terror, the same thing. We are going to have to wrap this up and cut this short. Do you have any last words to say before we get booted out of this club now? It's well after 1 a.m.
Hey, go check out my website, njweedman.com. Support the legalization of marijuana. You can support it in many ways. Definitely get into civil disobedience. And hey, check out my reefer raffle I hold every month. Like I said, hey, support your pothead, your pothead candidate. Hey, Democrats and Republicans support their candidate. I want the potheads to support me. I'm the only pothead candidate out there. Pothead politician. Anyway, peace, 420. Greetings, one love.
thank you so much for taking the time to be the guest tonight. Also, Mr. Jello Biafra, he is busy right now, but I am giving much, much thanks to him for taking the time to stop by here at Savior Generation. We are out of time for this little segment, but there's lots more show to continue here on Savior Generation, revereradio.net, tiredofbeingalive.com. Also check out njweedman.com. Check out alternativetentacles.com. Check out randynow.com. There's just so much to do, so much to see. So what's, I don't know. Good night. And that was it. And about 2 o'clock, we finally left and, we're on our way. So that was the interview I got to do with Weedman and Jello. And, you know, I don't know. What do you guys think about that all out there? What do you think?
No, I think I had just a lot of fun. And, it was especially fun to see Weedman. Like, he was totally a cool dude. And I think a lot of people that probably didn't know who he was necessarily, but, now they do know. So I think it was a good show in that you wouldn't maybe expect Jello Biafra to be having someone like that open for him. But I heard he had a lot of like local people open for him when he did his tour, which is pretty cool. Like that, I gotta say, that's the way to do it. Like, that's what all bands touring should be doing that are big.
Everybody should be giving the little guy a chance, giving the person who doesn't have as big a voice some time to say what they got to say. And I'm glad that he gave Weedman some, and I'm glad that Weedman was there, because if not, I would not have gotten to speak to Jello, definitely not on the record, as they say. But we did speak off air, and he did have a lot of good stuff to say. I can't believe he even had stuff to say about the Bohemian Grove, which kind of got everybody in the room like, huh, Bohemian Grove, what's that? So we were talking about it a little, and everybody then wanted to know what it was, so I was handing out DVDs on that. That's what you need to do. You need to go somewhere and spark up a conversation and get everybody else interested. Start handing out DVDs to everybody. Start getting in fights with the people who work at the club. That's what you got to do. That is a successful night, and that's where the fun is at. You know, that's what this, you know, outside of just sitting on your computer and typing to people on MySpace and giving them information, this is another way that we should be doing it. And I know a lot of people out there already do it. I don't do it nearly as much as I'd like to, because I don't have all the time. I always have little babies screaming as they're screaming right now. They're always screaming. There's always babies screaming. But every now and then you get some babysitters and you're able to go out and do something like this and go meet someone that you've listened to their music all the time and you've always wanted to ask them about these certain things. You heard them on record say Reptilian. You want to ask them, hey, I got to do it. So you can too. Let me be your fool who you say, all right, that idiot did it. Now I can do it too, because that dude, that sucked. That interview was the worst. And if he could do it, I can go do better. Do it. Do it and get a show on Revere, please, because we need lots. We need lots of people doing.
And like Jello Biafra said, he said, you have to become the media.
Exactly.
So
become the media.
I thought that was pretty amazing when he said that.
Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we're attempting to do, because our media that we've been given to us sucks. We all know that. So become the media, and I hope that Freeman gets a show. I heard a rumor, maybe, that he might be coming to revereradio.net. If you don't know who Freeman is, go to freemantv.com and check out his stuff. He's got a lot of great information, awesome stuff. I like his research, and I like anybody who's willing to think outside the box and say something that no one's ever said, even if it doesn't sound completely feasible. You know, you got to take these chances and think outside of the box, because if not, we'll never know anything, because you got to test the boundaries and test the limits of what is acceptable. But let's listen to a little clip from that Become the Media. It's a record Jello put out in 2000. Maybe I'll play a clip also later off of the newest record. Maybe I'll play some more Weedman stuff, because I don't even know how much time we're at right now. I can't read.
Home improvement. How about it? Throw the TV out the window. No, not quite. We don't hate the media. We've become the media. What responsible use of the internet, pirate radio and micropower, punk and hip-hop nation, independent music, publishing, film, and now television have accomplished so far is only the tip of the iceberg. Or is it a mushroom cloud? More and more often, the camcorder truth jihad will catch you beating innocent people for marching peacefully or driving while black. Illuminate your blowjobs, not from interns, but from money bags. They make cameras small as grasshoppers now, and they will slip inside your prisons, toxic dumps and sweatshops, all the way up to your boardrooms. We will bring people together against your whole goddamn agenda, because you have given Earth's life forms nowhere else to go. Giving a damn about the world around us and doing something about it is not an antique roadshow. We demand fair and more accurate, balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. We know we can do better than you. And as King George W. Bush II once said, we will.
Voted off the island of normality. Voted off the island of conformity. Voted off the island of drones. And damn proud of it too. Voted off the island of a necktie. Voted off the island of a 9-to-5. Voted off the island of a flag. And damn proud of it too. Voted off the island of a mainstream. Voted off the island of a wannabe. Voted off the island of a Kennedy. Proud of it too. Voted off the island. Voted off the island. Voted off the island. See ya.
You ain't the first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream.
Revere, revere, revere radio. Revere, 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 revere radio.
We are nearing the closing moments of this week's Save Your Generation. It is Wednesday, March 7th, and you just heard a conversation I had with NJ Weedman of njweedman.com, Edward Fortune. He runs for the government office under his own legitimate, independent third party, the Legalized Marijuana Party. Support him. This is the type of people we need to support. Other people, they're going to support Ron Paul. I don't know if I can support him because he's a Republican. And we all know Republican, Democrat, both same thing. It kills me when people decide when to pick and choose when the Republican is okay and when the Democrat is okay. I thought we've established that they're all bought and paid for. But I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But that's what I thought the consensus was. So why would I pick one of them if they're bought and paid for? And we know that even the Green Party, someone like Nader, is bought and paid for. Alex Jones exposed that. Go see American Dictators. But as far as contacting Jell-O or Weedman, they're both easily reachable. Go to alternativetentacles.com for Jell-O, njweedman.com for the Weedman. And tonight, I think really mostly the reason why I didn't have a better show planned for you, I mean, this might have been hella entertaining for you. It was entertaining for me to even be there, but maybe for you to hear about what happened in meeting Jell-O and the type of person that he is, because maybe you're a fan and maybe you haven't ever got to meet him. I didn't until Sunday. And I always wondered if he was a real DIY punk rock dude the way that he portrays himself. And he, I'll tell you 100%, he definitely is. 100%. He doesn't even have a, like, any type of road crew or anything with him. And I was expecting he would at least have a roadie or someone to take his merch. He does everything himself. And he just is a true, sincere person. And really, the reason why I started going off when I mentioned being in a wheelchair and whatever, because the look of concern in his face was true. Looked like it, he truly did care. And the advice he gave me is truly priceless. And it really says something about myself and about people in general. For example, I had been told by doctors numerous times that some type of yoga or stretching or physical therapy would be beneficial to me for the arthritis in my ankles and my neck and my back, and I just have horrible, horrible pain that I go through at times. And I was thinking that the doctors are just full of it and only want to try to, you know, squeeze money out of me. But when I hear it from someone who I thought opinion was respected, then I'll look into something. And I think that's how a lot of people work. They're waiting for their favorite movie star to tell them that 9/11 was something more than what the government has said it was. And I think that's the problem here. We shouldn't be waiting to hear it from someone who we look up to or someone who we idolize, because you'll be waiting forever. And what we need to do is, when we hear it from anyone, that at that moment, as soon as we know that it's a possibility, we need to investigate it. So as soon as I knew that, you know, physical therapy might be something to look into, I should have investigated and not discounted or discredited doctors. The same way that people, they hear a Professor Stephen Jones or someone else give a theory about why the physics of 9/11 could not have happened, yet they won't go research it because they didn't hear it from Puff Daddy or whoever that they worship. And to me, it's unbelievable and it's asinine, and I can't believe that even me, to a certain extent, is that way, because I had no interest in doing something until Jell-O suggested it to me. So think about that for yourself. Always think for yourself about anything. And don't just take the advice of anyone who you think, me or anyone else. No one. Just research. If you hear a piece of information, I don't have to tell the people listening to RevereRadio.net this. You all research for yourself, and that's why you've even found it this far. That's why you've even found Save Your Generation broadcast. But let's play another song. We are really nearing the end, and I don't even know what else to say. I've been, I didn't get home until yesterday during the day. We drove all morning and crashed all night, and just woke up today, it's Wednesday, and tried to get the show done with no preparation or anything. You know, I tried to get the interview all together, but that's the price you pay when you're doing crazy wildin', nylin', stylin', profiling.
Where do people go for information before cable news?
We can do it like we did back in the day. We'll go into the streets and tell the people.
Yeah, I wish the president would stop lying. Black babies would stop crying. And young brothers would stop dying. I wish the police would stop killing. Politicians stop stealing and acting like they're not dealing. When they know they got bricks in the street at the country club fixing it.
Day after, or a day or two after, we had a big meeting at Punk Voter, and Fat Mike was just dejected and almost was taking it personally that Kerry wasn't president. And I was saying, look, this is just a baptism. Yes, this is worth fighting, because every once in a while we win, and those people don't do anything on our behalf until we keep up relentless pressure over and over and over again. I've had my heart broken many times. Does it tame me and my bad attitude? No. Nixon getting in on a landslide for a second term in 1972, when people knew he was a total goddamn crook. It meant four more years of Vietnam if he had his way. And this myth ever since that, oh, well, he won because the Democrats offered up this radical dude named George McGovern and he was too liberal. McGovern was the last decent candidate the Democrats nominated, and after his little post-convention bounce, he was ahead of Nixon. in the polls. If you think Bush was divisive, Nixon was way worse. People protesting the war sometimes got punched out by other people coming to the protests as the cops watched. You know, the stereotype of the hard hat beating the hippie was born for good reason. It was really happening. In Colorado, where I'm from, some people with long hair and some towns were getting jumped and having their hair cut off with sheep shears and all. Very divisive time. The last thing we needed was more Nixon. And then what broke my heart even more was when Contragate happened, which was even worse than Watergate, and government dope dealing, assassination, sponsoring terrorists in Nicaragua that killed at least 30,000 Nicaraguans, mostly civilians. Finally, there's a Contragate committee. I thought they were going to kick ass like the Senate Watergate committee, especially because Daniel Inouye was the chairman and he was one of the people who kicked ass on the Watergate committee. Covered the whole thing up. Dope dealing's okay. Terrorism's okay. And then it spun in the corporate media. Oliver North, American hero, patriot, a real life James Bond, said one headline. That really made me sick. Then finally, Reagan-Bush regime gets temporarily derailed, and they at least change the public face to, you know, a little more touchy-feely, harmless-looking yuppie like Clinton. He immediately announces he's not going to do anything about all the Reagan-Bush crimes. That was a big heartbreak, too. Then 2002, when you wouldn't have gotten a lot of these nutcases in Congress if the Democrats were really an opposition party, instead of right before that election when Enron was there and Bush being reckless in hijacking the war on terror, or TWAT for short. Homelessness up 10% every year in this country, according to the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Bankruptcies at an all-time high. 40 million plus Americans with no health insurance. Now it's up to 50 million. All kinds of things they could have done, even for the business community, with venture capital being the lowest as it's been for any president in something like a century or whatever. People lost a total of $1 trillion in their stock investments. All kinds of things they could have done, and instead they just quietly knuckle under and vote that it's okay to invade Iraq, and don't even point out Bush stole the election. That was a heartbreak. The biggest heartbreak to me in recent times, though, is that part you see in that movie Fahrenheit 9-1-1. Everybody's seen the Michael Moore movie? Everybody's president in the Senate chamber, including Al Gore, as the presiding officer since he's still vice president. And they're all ready to vote to ratify the results of the Electoral College, which they knew was rigged because of what went down in Florida. And here's the Congressional Black Caucus coming over from the House of Representatives, standing in the aisle. Yo, 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 let us speak. Forget the dimply chads and the old Jewish lady vote that Gore was bitching and moaning about in southern Florida. What about the tens of thousands of African Americans who weren't allowed to vote because they were black in northern Florida? And if one of those senators present, and any of them could do it, had recognized anybody from the Black Caucus, they could have spoken up and presented their case on national television, and the election fraud would have been blown wide open, and we might not have Bush and the Iraq disaster we have today, not to mention all the rampant vote fraud. But did Ted Kennedy recognize them? No. John Kerry? No. Russell Feingold? No. Paul Wellstone? Didn't give anybody the floor. Even Gore, who could have gotten his own election back if he really wanted to win, he just sat there and let it happen. The fix was in. And then they have the gall to turn around and bitch and moan to this day, if it weren't for Ralph Nader and those goddamn Greens, Gore would be president today and everything would be wonderful and there wouldn't be any more global warming. And come on, people. Ralph and the Greens did not cost Gore the 2000 election. Gore cost himself the 2000 election.
All right, we got about not even 5 minutes left. This is Save Your Generation on RevereRadio.net. If this is not your first time listening to Revere Radio, then you already know that Gore wanted to lose and Kerry wanted to lose. All these elections are staged. And if you don't know that they're staged, you don't know that there's voter fraud, well, then you're living under a rock and you believe everything the TV tells you. Please stop doing that, because the TV is the problem. Turn it off. But before we go tonight, we'll play another song to lead into Rob Revere live at 9 p.m. coming up next. So please stay tuned to listen to Rob. Give a call in. Soon, you can call into the Save Your Generation broadcast, because we will be making that leap to live. So you can call in and let me know what you think about all this stuff that I'm putting down. Are you picking up what I'm putting down, as they say? But, all right, let's go to the music. I got nothing else really to say tonight. I hope you learned something. I hope you... I don't know what I hope anymore. Wait, I do know one thing. I hope you really, really visit our sponsor, Phalon.com. That's Phaylon.com, and it makes Revere Radio Network possible. Also, your donations. We are listener-sponsored radio, which means we can't stay on the air unless people are listening and people like it, and people are going to give money to keep listening. So please, if you haven't yet this month, give $1 a month. If we have just a few people give $1 a month, hey, it'll be great. That's all you need. So tell your friends, turn them on, tune in, turn up. Good night.
Now, you've done some pretty outlandish things to get your point across. What might they have been?
Well, the incumbent, Rob Andrews, I went to his office 2 years ago and smoked two joints in his office. I've gone to the New Jersey State House and done it. Same thing with the statue, at the Liberty Bell. Here's, the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is a symbol of liberty, and, again, that's what I say, that this is my body, and I have every right to put what I want in my body. So that was a perfect site to perform such a protest.
Do you feel as though, like, your outlandish things are getting your point across, or people are just looking at you in a very negative way?
No. Well, I think some people do think I'm a little eccentric. Some people think I'm a, I don't know what to call it. Some people think I'm a butthead, but I have just as many people who think I'm a patriot, a freedom fighter. They compare me, and I've compared myself to Rosa Parks and John Brown. These were people who deliberately broke the law in order to force change. And if you look through history, social change in this country has always come through acts of civil disobedience, and that's all they are, acts of civil disobedience.
Nobody feels for me. We've all been.
death is better than living on this earth with the unbelievers among us.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die.
If you'd like more information on the Savior Generation broadcast, or if you're just sick of all the lies, visit tiredofbeingalive.com. That's tiredofbeingalive.com.
I'm doomed.